Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to introduce a special guest this week covering some pro wrestling on the D-Loop Podcast. She is a writer and interviewer for SE Scoops and WrestleZone.com. She's a writer for WrestlingInc.com. She's the one and only wrestling gal all the way from Buffalo, New York. Ella J, welcome. How are you?
I am fantastic. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
No, I appreciate it. And again, we met fairly recently just through some mutual friends, you know, on the old Twitter machine. And yes. I still call it Twitter. I don't care what it says.
Yeah, but it's still Twitter to me, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that it's just a unique community for us, you know, to share what we love. And that's the world of professional wrestling. And the fact that we get to collaborate in so many instances, I think is really cool. And I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to, you know, to come on. My actual co-host, Gabby, is, you know, she has some things she has to take care of the next couple of weeks. Shout out to Gabby. And can't wait to see when you get back. But tell the people a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so you kind of said at the beginning of it, most of my work nowadays is writing a lot of news and features for the various sites, but I also do a lot of interviews too as well for various sites. And interviewing is my favorite thing in professional wrestling. I wish I got to do it more, but I have at least one interview coming out every single week for whatever platform it is. And I'm also on Twitter, you know, I'm watching events. I'll occasionally travel to do some in-person coverage, like I was at Survivor Series last year and Rumble last year doing those. Basically a lot in professional wrestling. I'm very lucky that it's and very happy that it's my full-time gig right now.
Well, again, you know, we I love the fact that there's women in this space that are really doing the thing. That's why, again, I have Gabby on, because I marvel at the fact that there's equal opportunity for, you know, for wrestling content creators for women too. So I definitely appreciate that for sure. So I want to get right into, obviously, this episode we're going to be covering this weekend's AEW Dynasty. It's going to be taking place in St. Louis, Missouri, April 21st. And we're going to go over the full card. But I want to take it back last week to AEW Dynamite that sent the IWC, the pro wrestling community, the whole entire industry in a frenzy. It was announced at the beginning of the week. Mind you, the WWE had just come off an historic WrestleMania 40. I was in attendance for that. And it was love. You know what I mean? It was like it was a feel-good WrestleMania. And then all of a sudden, it's coming out that they're now going to release the footage from All in London with CM Punk and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. And because it was involving, I guess they were gonna put it into a storyline in regards to the Young Bucks. You know, their heels, and they're trying to really, you know, piss people off. But I want to get your opinion on that whole entire situation. Was it worth it? Was it, I mean, give us your opinion and I'll give you the floor, then I'll have my opinion.
I'm going to be honest. I was kind of indifferent to it. You know, the IWC went into a tailspin about it, but for me, I was like, I don't want to see any of that. So I kind of stayed off of Twitter in the aftermath of it. But I just saw so many people going off about it. You know, I get it. You want to get ratings. That's definitely a good way to get ratings. You know, as Eric Bischoff would say, controversy is
It's
cash,
cash,
right?
right?
It gave a little bit boost to the ratings. Again, I'm not really one who really cares about ratings that much. To me, I just
Neither.
enjoy watching wrestling. Like, I'm not a businessy person when it comes to wrestling. I just enjoy watching the product, you know. So the ratings part doesn't I it, good for them, I guess. It gave them a little bit of a boost. But really, I just like what I want to. My most important thing is, do I enjoy what I'm watching? I was, you know, it gave people some good memes. You know, poor Chris Hero. And Chris Hero was playing off of that. He was at a what West Coast Pro wearing the same shirt that he wore in the video I saw. But for me, from what I could tell, it looked like exactly what Punk described on MMA Hour. You know, he choked out Jack Perry a little bit. Samoa Joe stepped in. You know, they got separated. He knocked over the monitor. We don't exactly know what was said to each other. But honestly, it just what it was. It's kind of a publicity stunt, but it's a real thing at the same time. And you know, Punk is gone. Jack Perry's out there doing his scapegoat thing. Again, yeah, I really don't have much, honestly. Like, good for them, but doesn't really sway me. Doesn't make me feel one way or the other, to be honest, because it's all, you know, what else are they gonna do? Punk's already fired, you know, and is already now back in WWE. So I wish I had a more passionate response to it, but I just enjoy watching the product, you know. It gave them a ratings boost, good for them. That's all I really got, honestly.
I guess for me, I guess the only issue that I had with it was the fact is, why would you be highlighting
Yeah, that
another
too.
individual? Now if Punk wasn't in the, I can guarantee you this: if Punk wasn't in WWE, that footage would have not surfaced.
Yeah.
We all know that for an absolute fact, it wouldn't have. So the fact that he is flourishing in WWE, he's doing a tremendous work, even while he's injured. You know, he's helping out at NXT, he's doing commentary, he's back, you know, he's constantly, you know, he's in the fold, you know what I mean? And oh, sorry about that. And he's doing a lot of things with the company. I'm just like, that wouldn't have happened had it not been for him, you know, him going back
Yeah.
to WWE. But they were chanting his name at an AEW event.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you may have gotten a ratings boost out of
Backfired.
it,
Yeah, it kind of
but
backfired a little bit because they were
was
chanting
it
for Punk.
right? But in the grand scheme of things, was it really worth it?
I don't think so. I think especially if you're trying, you know, it gave the Bucks heat. But again, at their time, their story is now supposed to be surrounded around FTR. FTR had nothing to do with, you know, the Punk and Perry thing. You want to move forward to Dynasty. That has really nothing to do with FTR and their upcoming title match. That's just kind of, again, trying to hope that the controversy creates cash. It gave them I don't know about cash necessarily, but it gave them a little bit of a ratings boost. I man, the timing of it was just, you know, granted Punk had just
Bad.
talked about it on MMA Hour, so the timing of it made a little bit of sense. I just didn't feel it was necessary personally.
But Punk was just asked the question. I think because when Ariel
Yeah.
Helwani was trying to ask Tony Khan those questions, Tony was
Yeah.
very dismissive and he really didn't give any give really get didn't give any answers at all.
Yeah.
But the idea of getting in your feelings or whatever about something that he, in the fact, okay, if Punk lied, all right, you got him.
Yeah, he
But when
didn't. He, to
Ariel
me, to me, he
Helwani,
didn't though.
he actually
Yeah.
stitched the interview along with the footage and described it to a T. So I'm just like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
that right there is like, okay, have it your way. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm glad, okay, it's over now and they're putting it into a storyline and off we go to the races and we'll see what happens from there. But obviously this Sunday, we're here to talk about, you know, AEW Dynasty. right now, as of tonight, we're recording this on a Wednesday night right now. There's nine matches that are signed right this at this moment. I don't know. I don't think there's going to
Can
be
guarantee
any.
we'll be getting at least three or four more in the next 4 days.
Yeah, considering that you have there's Rampage, and of course there's going to be Collision. So I mean, we
Yeah.
don't know what's going to happen. But again, we don't even have any 0 hour matches right now, so
Yeah.
we can only go off of what we see. And there's nine matches that are signed now. Now right now we have Will Ospreay, the recently signed Will Ospreay. Oh, that's another thing. Before I get into that, the comments that he made last week.
A Triple H.
Now, whether or not Hunter was talking about Will Ospreay specifically, the no one's name came out of Triple H's mouth.
That is true.
It nothing there was no, like Triple H didn't come out of his mouth to say Will Ospreay. He didn't say any of that. He just said some guys, if they have to be ready for the grind, and if they're not, then they shouldn't be. That I don't want them anyway. So if you could take it however you want. Now, if it pertained to you, prove them wrong, and just go about your business. But to do the old, oh well, you're in that position because of who you married and yada yada. And I'm just like, dude, that deck of cards have been played so many times. And at this point, right now it's a different company. It's under new leadership, and Triple H is clearly not wrestling anymore. He's all about the roster that he's handed and that he's handling now. So that was a little bit way out of pocket, in my opinion. Your thoughts.
No, I definitely agree with you. A lot of us assumed that it was about Will Ospreay, so it gave Will, kind of what's it called? Plausibility to respond to it.
Right.
Fine, but respond to it in a different way, like clap back in some other way than, you're supposed to be what this guy that people are getting behind and all that. Like you said, I think it was just kind of out of pocket, and there was another way he could have framed and clapped back at Triple H, because
100%. Percent.
there's this war. That's fine. You want to get ratings, but I think there was a
Yeah.
more that there was another route that you needed to go rather than that old tired, excuse of, of who you married or sleeping your way to your position and all of that. He could have gone about it a different way. I definitely agree with you.
I mean, poor Renee Paquette, because she has a really good relationship with
Yeah.
WWE. She just did the A&E fairly
Yeah.
recently. So I mean, she knows Stephanie, she knows Hunter. So I mean, the
Yeah.
fact that she had to be in that position to hear that, it's just like, oh boy, that was way out of pocket. But neither here nor there. We're here about the first match, Brian Danielson versus Will Ospreay. We all know that as wrestling purists, these are the type of matches that we want to see.
Yeah.
And I already know for a fact this is going to be a 30-minute banger. It's listed as first match, but again, I don't know the match order. It could change,
Yeah,
but I'm just going it
it's just in, I think, in when they were announced.
when they are announced. So,
Yeah.
Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson, take me through it, and what do you think about what you think that match is going to set for the rest of the night?
Oh man, I don't think that I'd be surprised if they opened with that, but that would be an exciting opener if it does turn out to be true. I think that'll probably be somewhere in the middle of the card. But the whole premise is, who's the best? Brian Danielson has established himself as this master technician. He has a whole award named after him, the Brian Danielson Award. And then
Right.
you have the technical side versus, this high flying aerialist in Will Ospreay, who can basically do anything. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match. Not to say that Brian can't do some high flying stuff, but
Right.
Brian is also in his 40s now, and he said this is his last full time year in wrestling. Granted,
Right.
wrestlers change their minds all the time, so who knows?
Agreed.
But I think it's clear that Brian is winding down his career, so it's going to be interesting to see, like, how fat if Brian is going to rev up his energy in this match, or if he's going to go his traditional route and try and keep Will grounded and all of that. It's going to be kind of a different kind of feel for Will Ospreay. There is going to have to be parts where he's going to have to play the technical side as well to counter and be a bit more grounded. But also at the same time for Danielson, he's going to have to rev up his energy to keep up with Danielson. So it's going to be a mesh of two different styles, two of the best wrestlers in the world. Man, I think, Will Ospreay just came in. Danielson's on his last full year. I think Danielson's probably gonna want to put over Ospreay in this. So I have Ospreay winning this, keep his momentum up. And then I hope we get a handshake at the end. I don't know. Danielson's been a little bit feisty the last couple of months, so we'll see. But like you said, I think it's gonna be a banger nevertheless.
Yeah, I think so too. And to me, I think if it's Bryan Danielson there, I truly believe it's going to force Will Ospreay, I think, to really show I'm more than just a flippy flop guy, and I can actually get on the ground too and get busy. I think that this is to me, because I mean I'm looking at the rest of the card, right? There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven titles on the line, and the only match that's not, other than this match we're talking about, that's a non-title match, it's a trios match that Cope, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe against the House of Black. That's it. So I can actually see this match opening up Dynasty.
That's fair.
You know
Or
what I
the opener,
mean?
that would be, yeah.
That would be, I think that would be, that's a nice way to get the match started. And I think you could bring the, I will talk about the next match in a little bit, but I truly believe this, I think Ospreay's going over. There's no doubt about that. Also, too, I know he's still kind of with the Don Callis family. We don't know where that's going to play a part. I mean, to me, I think Ospreay should just, really just go on his own. I mean, everyone's singing his theme song, you know what I mean, when he gets in the ring. So it makes sense. I've had him as a baby face.
Yeah, there is that possibility Don Callis' family could screw him. I mean, but we
That's
don't know.
true.
There,
Right.
it is wrestling. Interferences are pretty much, you gotta have them in the back of your mind.
Yes, you do. Because listen, when there's a double down, everyone's going to be standing up looking at, which I don't like sometimes, because like they've trained us to like, okay, something
There's
else is
a
coming to
spot when both competitors are just like on the ground doing just stirring.
right.
That's the cue for somebody to run down.
100%. So we shall see what happens. Like I said, I have Ospreay going over because, like I said, he just signed there. So I think this is really to kind of get his momentum. Because don't forget now, we got Wembley coming up. Okay. So I think they want to position him, there, to see as far as getting, maybe to that world title picture. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Next up, we have the tournament final. It's a ladder match for the vacant AEW World Tag Team titles. The Young Bucks, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson, the EVPs against FTR, Dax Harwood, and Cash Wheeler. Ladder matches are unpredictable.
Especially
Obviously,
with
there's
these two teams.
one, especially with the Young Bucks. And I think because of the direction that they're going in, as these really, let's just call them for what they are, assholes, throwing their weight around with their position as EVPs, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be a seesaw battle. We all know that there's going to be some outside interference there. I truly believe that. I think that the scapegoat will make his return to AEW and cost FTR by pushing one of them off the ladder, and the Young Bucks will become the first three-time AEW World Tag Team Champions. I think that's going to be, and to me, that's just me. If I had the pencil, that's the direction I would go. Because I mean, right now you have Okada, who has the Continental Classic Championship. You know what I'm saying? Let me ask you a question: is it me, or does AEW have way too many mid-card titles?
There is a lot, but then again, they have a way big enough roster to have it, to have multiple storylines for them.
I
So
mean, because to me, the mid-card title to me was the international title that obviously Orange
Well, actually,
Cassidy,
first it was the TNT
the
Championship is the
TNT.
OG mid-card title,
Agreed, yeah.
but then yeah, then.
But I'm just saying, like, as far as the work that's been, as far as is building up the title, Orange Cassidy has done a tremendous job with that. And I just feel like there's just too many right now. And I just think that, okay, slim it down. You could trim the fat a little bit when it comes to the titles. Because, heck, you can have feuds, You can have feuds without titles, but I mean, the fact that we have nine matches on this card and seven championships, yeah, that's a whole lot.
Technically eight championships, because the one is to unify RH and AEW, but yeah, technically
Oh
eight.
my God. Yeah, so we're talking eight championship matches. That is insanity. You know what I mean? But I think that's the, if I had the pencil, that's the direction that would go, because like I said, now you have the elite that will have belts now,
Yeah,
and I think
that's
maybe it may be getting
the
on the Jack Perry, maybe getting him into that international title, run and using that influence there.
Yeah, I don't know about the Jack Perry element, but I definitely do have the Elite walking out of Dynasty with all the gold around them. The Continental Championship as well as the Tag Team Championships. Yeah, there could be something funny going on, but it's also a ladder match. You don't necessarily need something funny to go on. It's a ladder match. You could literally beat down your opponent with any weapon you want. But if there is going to be an interference and not have it, be disqualified against whoever, this is the match to do it in because it is a ladder match. But I do agree with you. I have the Young Bucks winning as well. Joined by, kind of spoiler alert, I do have Okada retaining later on in his match. And they're going to be walking into Dynamite next week with all the gold around them.
I think that's the visual you want going out of that
Yeah.
pay-per-view, whether it's after the ladder match or after the Okada match. That's the
Yeah.
visual you want with them holding their belts up high, almost how Evolution did when Evolution had all the belts, the tag
Yeah.
team, the heavyweight title, and the IC title. You want that visual as we are the biggest heel faction in the company right now, and you're going to have to do all you can to line your baby faces up to beat us. So I think that's huge, for them. I totally see the Young Bucks winning that championship. So up next we have a house rules match for the TBS championship, the champion Julia Hart, who is the reigning 2023 D-Loop podcast breakout star of the year, by the way. I must tell you, we did an end of year episode, me and Gabby did in December, and Julia Hart was my pick for breakout star of the year, and I think she did a tremendous job. And she's going to be defending against Willow Nightingale with my man Stoke.
Stoke is honestly like the low key MVP.
That is another man. He's one of the few guys in wrestling. I said, please protect that man at all costs. He's a national
Yeah.
treasure. I put him up there. I put Big E up there, and I put R-Truth up there.
Yeah.
Just the guy that he doesn't try hard to be funny. That's just who he naturally is. But the match is going to be, I mean, it's a house rules match. Anything goes, as you can see. I have Julia winning this match because I believe Chris Statlander was the individual that not only attacked Mercedes, but also attacked Willow. Your thoughts?
Yes. I absolutely agree with that. I have Julia retaining for a couple reasons. One, whoever wins is going to go on to face Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing and defend the TBS championship. Logically, Mercedes Moné is the baby face. I mean, you could put her against Willow. They have that history, but I think you're gonna do the traditional baby face versus heel. Julia obviously fills that. And plus, I think this is going to be where Chris Statlander reveals that she's the one during this match and maybe costs Willow the opportunity. I think this is going to be the match where Chris reveals, or it could be somebody random out of left field, but I think it is Chris. But I think this is where she reveals that she's the one behind the attacks. And probably helps Julia retain and costs Willow. It sucks though, because it's another great friendship, broken. But Chris lost the championship, and now Willow's getting a chance to win it, and Chris might be jealous or something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see a heel Chris Statlander, because we haven't, I don't, have we? We haven't really had a true heel Chris Statlander in
No, I don't think
AEW,
so.
I
No,
think.
no, no.
Yeah, so this would really be the first taste. And also, what's gonna happen with Stokely then? That's gonna be entertaining. But
I
yeah,
think
I
Stokely was in her
do.
ear. I believe Stoke was the one that was in her ear.
Very
Because
possible.
he was paying her those compliments now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally see Stokely being, full time with Chris Statlander and leading her down whichever path they go. But yeah, I think, but to me, I'm seeing Mercedes Moné as a heel. I don't know why. I think she's better off as a heel. I think naturally she's a heel. I mean, I'm going back to her NXT days when she, ripped up poor Izzy's, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I always viewed her as a heel. But
I think
again,
she
what.
will. I think she will, but I think coming in so soon, I hope they wouldn't because they did that with Saraya and it kind of backfired a little bit. She came in, fresh off of, a retirement, came in against Britt as a heel, but then like 2 months later they turned she came in as babyface, but then like 2 months later they halted her momentum and she turned heel and it didn't go necessarily well. So I think they're going to ride this momentum, this hype around Mercedes for a little bit. And then I think eventually, a couple months down the line, we'll get heel Mercedes. But I think it's too soon right now. They still want to ride that momentum. She has that catchy CEO. You want to bank on
That's what, oh, and
that.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. In that, see, ladies and gentlemen, on the D Loop podcast, we don't just do cliches just for the sake of doing them. They come out naturally. That's what
Yeah,
LJ just did.
that was not planned.
That was not planned at all. That was not a planned spot, I guarantee you that. This episode of the D Loop podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan friendly, gluten free, and gelatin free. All loyal listeners of the D Loop podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
EW. All right. We have a trios match. We have Chaos. We have Adam Copeland, the Mad King himself, Eddie Kingston, and Mark, and the Ring of Honor World Champion, Mark Briscoe, taking on the House of Black, consists of Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews. It's utter chaos. I mean, when you're thinking about a trios match, I mean, you're not looking for who's going to exchange the best holds. I mean, obviously, you got the Mad King in there, or anything. Brody King, I mean, think about it. You got two brawlers in there, like Brody King and Eddie Kingston. I mean that match could have been a singles match in itself, but here we are. But I think that with this match, I totally see the babyface going over. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, with Adam Copeland, doing the Cope challenge every week. Mark Briscoe just winning the Ring of Honor World Title at a couple out in Philly. You know what I mean? C congrats to him. So I totally see that happening. Your thoughts?
I also do for those that plus House of Black has been a thorn at the sides of Mark, Adam, and Eddie Kingston. Even just on
Right.
tonight's episode of Dynamite that we just watched,
Right.
Brody King and Julia got the win over Adam Copeland and Willow Nightingale, so they have a little bit one up. There's that cliche that whoever, granted, this is not necessarily the go home show, but kind of
No.
is. But there's that cliche of, if you're going out on top on the go home show, you're probably gonna lose on the pay-per-view. That's the way I think they're gonna go. You know, Adam Copeland lost in his appearance tonight. And House of Black has been a thorn at their side. So I think Mark, Adam, and Eddie are gonna get their revenge and get the win at Dynasty.
Will we see Spike in this match?
I don't know. It is very possible. I hope we do in some capacity.
That was quite the treat, I must say. All right, so next we have a singles match for the AEW Women's World Championship. We have Timeless Toni Storm with Mariah May defending against Thunder Rosa. Now, Thunder Rosa has been killing it with her promos the last couple weeks. I think obviously being off for almost 2 years and her chomping at the bit to get back in there, and compete. You know what I mean? That a lot of fire up you. You know what I mean? And I've been really digging her promos. However, I think this ride that they're going on with Toni Storm right now, I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. Because again, I'm thinking about the future and I'm thinking about the Wembley show in August. You want as much momentum as possible for a potential match with a Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm, maybe. I don't know, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Toni Storm goes over. I think the match is going to be top quality, no doubt about it. But Thunder Rose is just going to miss that. You know what I mean? It could be something where something fluky could happen in the match, and I think that's how the match is going to end.
I mean,
And still, women's champion.
her and Deonna have also been butting heads. You know, they were friends, but then D, I can't, D is like, F you, and then they were butting heads even tonight. But yeah, no, it's funny because I also agree with you on this. I think the story between Tony and Mariah, you know, if they're going based on the All About Eve movie, I feel like there's so much potential that they could still do there, you know, with
Oh,
Mariah
yeah.
kind of. She's not even her assistant anymore. You know, I feel like we haven't gotten to the part where Mariah's starting to outshine Tony yet and trying to glaringly take her spotlight yet. She's still kind of friends with her. We haven't seen Mariah make the move to try and overtake Tony yet. So I think that there is a lot more to this Tony and Mariah story. Maybe ending with Mariah turning on Tony and costing her the title or even beating her for the title. But we haven't had those seeds planted yet where there's really any tension between Mariah or any shadiness on Mariah's end towards Tony. And I know Thunder's been back since what, December? So it's been about 5 months. I feel like she will be champion again, but not right now. I feel like it's
No,
still
no, no, no,
a
no, no,
little
no, no,
bit
no,
too
no, no.
soon. You know, she needs to get a full year under her wing, you know, coming back from
Agreed.
a big injury like that. I'm not sure. I mean, not pun intended, that she could carry the women's division right now with just in an in-ring perspective and those responsibilities right now. I don't know how her back is and all of that.
Man.
So for those all of those reasons, I also have Tony retaining here.
Yeah, I mean, and again, there's nothing wrong with it. You know what I
Yeah,
mean? It's with
I
your
think.
expression, getting over and going over. I mean, Tony's going to go over, but we all know Thunder's going to get over.
Yeah. I'm excited to see this rematch because Toni Storm has not beaten Thunder Rosa yet.
No.
Thunder Rosa obviously beat Toni Storm at Forbidden Door. And then in the tag match a couple weeks ago, Thunder and Deonna beat Mariah and Toni. And actually I think Toni got pinned, right?
Yeah.
So this will be the first time Toni has an opportunity to beat Thunder Rosa, and I think she will.
It'll be on a big stage too, no doubt about
Yeah.
it. So next match for the AEW Continental Championship, the champion, Kazuchika Okada defending against the bastard Pac. This match, potentially, like I said, just like the Danielson and the Osprey match, I think this has a potential to be a banger, as well. I think it's gonna be a low key banger, a lot of times, because you figure Pac's been away, he's been
Yeah.
here, he's gone away, he's comes back. I think to me, this is just an opportunity for the American fans to see Okada on American pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? And as a permanent member of the roster, because obviously he's done some Forbidden Door and that type of thing. But I think now that he's a permanent member of the roster, this is just to get his title run up and going. I think the match is going to be quality, but Okada, but you gave it earlier, and I'll just give my opinion as well. In my mind, I already had Okada winning this match. Give me some of your key points in this match and why you think it'll be good.
Now you also got me thinking about All In too, because it'll be a homecoming for Pac. So I think if they're gonna have a big moment for Pac, like winning another championship, All In would be the ideal place to do it,
Oh
in his
yeah.
home country. So for that, plus I also think, we're gonna have the Elite in control of not all the titles, obviously, but three of the titles in AEW. I think I have that notion, that image, that vision of the Elite walking out with all of the championships that they could
Right.
possibly have right now. I think it's gonna be a good match. But yeah, now, like I said, you got me thinking about All In now. I think if they're gonna crown Pac with the title, savor that for All In. So
Right. And
Okada for the win here.
it's crazy, we've mentioned All In quite a few times on this episode, and I think that these next, you figure there's Dynasty, there's Double or Nothing, there's for Forbidden Door, and then you have All In. You know what I mean? And I'm just feeling right now that all roads are leading to All In. That's what I truly believe. They're planting all the seeds now to fill that stadium to have, a damn good pay-per-view. That's definitely the goal.
Yeah, and especially considering it's Pac's home country, I think they'll want to give him that moment in his home country. I think it
Just
would
like they
be
did for
neat.
Saraya last year.
Yeah.
All right. So next we have the international. Oh my God, this is like all these championship matches. Then you have the Continental. Now we have the International Championship. Roderick Strong against Kyle O'Reilly, former stablemates. And to me, obviously, O'Reilly's coming back, from again, a serious injury. And I don't see the title changing hands right now in this instance. I think O'Reilly, I think really just getting his this just getting his feet under him again. You know what I mean? And getting more reps, if you will. I think a title will come down the line, but I think right now with the stable that Strong is in, I think Roddy retains.
This will be the first time I think I disagree with you, and
Okay.
go the other way.
Okay.
I don't want to call Roderick Strong a transitional champion, but it feels like if anybody's going to be a transitional champion, it
It
would
will
be
be
Roderick
him.
Strong.
Right.
And also, I really loved him. If Kyle were to beat him to kind of go, he wouldn't be injured, obviously, but I loved disgruntled, Roderick Strong, in the wheelchair, and him yelling. I just want to see the tizzy fit that he would throw if he loses the title. And so I think if Kyle is gonna come back and they have this moment in the ring, Kyle is celebrating with Roderick. Roderick turns on him. I think this is gonna be a way to get Kyle O'Reilly. He's been gone for a while. To get him back in the mix. What a way to set him up. To put him. It would be his what I believe his first title in AEW if he were to win. So I think setting up Kyle O'Reilly strong, especially right after a turn, granted the numbers will not be in his favor for this, so it is a little bit of an uphill battle, but if there's anybody you want to invest in, I feel like Kyle O'Reilly is a guy you could do it. And like I said, I just see Roderick Strong as a transitional champion. I don't know if this was always the plan for it to be Kyle, but I think Kyle's going to get some avenge. I think the story's going to continue, but I think Kyle is going to avenge, and then I just want to see the Roderick Strong hissy fit.
I miss the wheelchair neck brace, neck strong. You know what I mean? I miss that. Like that was pure comedy. All right. So up next, we have a winners take all AEW Trios Championship and the ROH 6-Man Tag Team Championship. Now, I have to ask the purpose of this if they wanted to keep AEW and Ring of Honor as separate entities.
Not that this has stopped. The thing is, not this isn't going to stop either team from floating between shows, because we see AEW people float to Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor float to AEW all the time. It kind of just blurs together. So I don't really know the purpose of it because people are going to float regardless.
Right.
But I think it is I think it is an exciting matchup. We got the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, obviously going against his sons and Jay White. I think Jay White and the Guns are going to win. I don't know what would happen then, like. Also, there. I don't know if they're. I know it's winner takes all. There's kind of confusion. Are they unifying them, or are they gonna each have two belts on their shoulders? That I don't know. I think if they unify them, they're gonna float between. I think regardless, they're gonna float between. I don't really know what's going to happen. Are they unified, or are they just gonna have two belts? I don't really know. But I think, man, Jay White's Jay White's gotta get another win under his belt. He's had a
Yeah.
couple losses at pay-per-view. So yeah, but also like the Acclaimed has been really hot. But I want Jay White to get back on track. So I'm gonna go with Jay White and the Guns here.
I agree that because again, I'm all about heat,
Yeah.
and I think if you want to piss off the fans, you put those titles on the Ass Boys and Jay White.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the regardless, the win or lose, right? The Acclaim is over.
Yeah.
They could lose 100 matches in a row. It don't matter. They're gonna get the freestyle from Max. They're gonna get Bowen saying the city and scissor me daddy ass. It's over. So them losing the titles, I don't think it's gonna hurt them at all. This is actually gonna help
Yeah.
the gun, you know, the Guns and Jay White. You know what I mean? So I totally see those guys walking out and unify. I guess it's the winner take all match. So with Bullet Club Gold. So I agree with you there. That's definitely going to happen.
I mean, I don't know what would they kind of realign with the Elite is the thing too. Again, the Elite and Bullet Club Gold are gonna have so they're gonna be the heat makers. Could we see a makeshift alliance there? Well, not makeshift. They kind of have a history with each other already. Could they kind of realign? That's a possibility. I think these two matches, the Elite and then a Bullet Club Gold, that's gonna be your heat making moments of the night, to piss people off.
I think that, and they'll rename it Bullet Club Elite.
Very possible, you know, and you know, Ken, we don't know about Kenny Omega, but I feel like if Hangman's gonna return Double or Nothing after they have all this gold, I think would be the perfect place for Hangman to return. I don't know who he would be aligned. Maybe it would be with the Acclaimed. I mean, that's just an idea.
That's true.
That's an idea, but then they're one sh and then Kenny Omega, if he's cleared, I mean, that's 5-on-5 right there. Oh no, sorry, that'd be 5-on-6 or 5-on-6. I don't know. But I agree. I got Bullet Club Gold walking out
Yeah.
as the Unified Undisputed. I don't know what their official name is gonna be yet.
I guess we'll find out when Justin Roberts makes the call, right? So that's
Yep.
all we could do. Right. All right. And our main event of the evening, we got the AEW World Championship with the champion Samoa Joe facing the number one contender, Swerve Strickland. I can see Strickland walking out with the title. Or I could see Joe retaining and they could do a return at Double or Nothing in Vegas. Now, I saw why Strickland didn't win the title at the last pay-per-view because obviously it was Sting's last match. And I don't think people would have been talking about a new champion. They would have been talking about Sting's last match. And rightfully so, because it was the icon Sting's last match. Personally, and this is no disrespect to this particular city or crowd or whatever, but at the marquee event like Double or Nothing, the first ever pay-per-view under the AEW umbrella, that's where you want that title change to happen. And maybe have that instead. And let's say, for example, if some outside interference or something like that, and they call Swerve the title, Swerve gets the return match, and you do it in a steel cage. I'm thinking Booker, like as far as if I'm booking and as far as like how can I get some more mileage out of this feud? Because I mean, if he beats him, then what? where do we go? But at least the chase is going to continue another month, because it's only another month out, another month, month and a half out, because was it a Memorial Day weekend at that Double or Nothing is? And they can still continue this feud. And I think, how do you blow off a feud? In a cage. That's simple. Your thoughts?
I just worry. The people are still going to be behind Strickland regardless. But I just worry that it hurts his momentum a bit. You know, if he, I get it, you know, it was a triple threat, whatever, you know, loses,
right,
whatever.
But
if he loses again, what's the justification for him, like, going after, what incentive does Joe have to give him another rematch is the thing.
Well,
unless Strickland, like, is willing to like a loser leaves or some crazy stipulation to give Samoa Joe incentive. But there also is the possibility that we might be getting a little scarf wearing MJF. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's also in the back of my mind.
Right. Exactly.
MJF has incentive to help swerve Strickland because Samoa Joe was the one who defeated him to win the title.
Right.
So for me, like the pros and the it's leaning more towards Strickland here. I feel like I feel like there's a story there to continue it, obviously,
right.
But like, what would that story be? Like, why would Samoa Joe then agree to have another rematch after he just beat Swerve?
Right.
And so I fear that it'll dip his momentum a bit if he doesn't win here. Unless something crazy happens, like an MJF, and something derails it to where, you know, it's not a clean loss. But if Swerve loses cleanly here, I feel like that drastically hurts.
Oh, back down the though. Down the la- back down the ladder, 100%. I
yeah.
agree with that. I totally agree with that.
So I feel like this is the prime opportunity to do it, unless there is some chaos, like a returning MJF. Then okay, Double or Nothing. But then it would be like a triple threat kind of thing. But no, there's Strickland can't lose clean here. He's either winning or he's losing because there's some crazy, crazy outside thing going on. They cannot have him lose cleanly here.
Yeah, I didn't have him losing cleanly at all. I'm thinking some interference or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a Hangman or cost him the match, or maybe even Nana might turn on Strickland.
I don't want that to happen. Oh no.
I know.
We need Nana dance once Swerve. No, he can't turn on him before Swerve wins the title. We need to see that celebratory dance. No.
Yeah,
no.
We do. We do.
I'm saying no to Nana turning on him.
And I like and I got nothing but love for Prince. I got nothing but love for him. I really, really do. But he's, again, I've always known Nana to be a heel. Since his early days of the embassy.
Oh, don't put that into my mind.
but you know what I'm saying
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
I'm thinking realistic pro wrestling, you know, historically, you know, he's always been a heel. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We have a lot to, you know, to digest as that night does go on. But I did want to bring this up to you, and this is really, it's regarding AEW. They've obviously increased their pay-per-view load. It's now up to 9 pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
What is your opinion about the amount of pay-per-views that, because remember, they promised in the beginning it was only going to be 4 a year, and now they've added an additional 5. Now, and you're talking about $49.99 a pop. Now, is this going to open the door for them to get some type of streaming deal with a Max or with, you know, Paramount or whoever it is? What's your thoughts on that? Because to me, like, before the, you know, the WWE Network, you know, we were conditioned to be buying pay-per-views. Now, me personally, I was going to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch it every month. You know what I mean? So all I was doing was just buying my, you know, shrimp quesadillas every month. But now, I mean, you're asking the consumer to pay, you know, over $500 a year on pay-per-views. Do you see them moving to a strictly streaming, or are they just going to have to say, hey, we're gonna ask our fans to cough up money?
Well, a couple months ago, it was ESPN, Warner Brothers, and one other, like, Disney is on top of ESPN. One other site that they're creating a sports-based streaming service.
Yes,
And
yes, yes, I
AEW
did see
is
that.
under the Warner Brothers umbrella, obviously. And they said that professional wrestling was going to be in UFC and all of that were going to be included in this streaming service, which I think is planned to launch in the fall sometime. So I think if there's a way to, AEW's under the umbrella of Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Then again, though, their TV deal is coming up at the end of the year, I believe. So they haven't re-signed or anything yet, from what I understand, but I think they will. I think if that's a way to go, if there's really an outcry, for all these massive pay-per-views and the costs from the fans, I think AEW, I would hope that Tony Khan will listen to those fan concerns and consider putting it on streaming platforms, for like as a bundle or a lower cost like that.
Yeah.
That is a possibility, 'cause, but then again, that's assuming that it's planned right now, but it hasn't been officialized yet. If that does happen, that's an avenue to go. I don't know what else you would do in that instance. I know they still have the whole thing of you can watch it in the theater. Some people can do that, but that's not
Yeah.
always accessible in every single city
Every
or
city,
town,
no, it's
for
not,
people.
right.
So that you're losing a lot of potential viewers there, from that. And you can
Right.
only do so much with the movie market. So I think the best route would be if they can somehow get in on this streaming platform that ESPN and Warner Brothers and all of that are doing. I think that would be great if they were able to do that and make it affordable. And I think it would appease a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think honestly, a lot of other wrestling, because there's this tribalism thing that we have, and again, I
Yeah.
hate it. I hate it because I watch everything. But even the WWE, I mean, not, I mean, even the AEW haters would probably end up subscribing to their streaming service to
Yeah.
watch.
And it's not just wrestling. Like there's UFC, there'd be football, NHL, NFL, MLB, like swimming, like all these other sports. So if you're a sports person in general, like you got a whole collection of stuff that you
I
can
did read
watch.
about that. I read about
Yeah.
that, and I was just like, this is going to be really, really interesting on how
Yeah.
this is going to play out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're going to talk about monopolizing the market. I mean, good grief. I mean, one hub, I mean, it's great, but what is it going to do for the marketplace for other, like, lower tier
Yeah.
sports streaming services that may want a piece of the pie? Really
Yeah.
depends. Well, let me just say this. This is we're going to tie the bonus just a little bit, but I do want to take the time to thank Ella J, for coming on, and giving her perspective on this coming pay-per-view, AEW Dynasty. And if you could just tell the people where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. Like I said, we don't call it that other thing. If you follow me on Twitter at it's Ella J, if you go to the link in my bio, all my links to all my projects, podcasts, and writing are all there in one convenient place.
Awesome. Well, Ella, like I said, it's been a pleasure. You're again, now that you've done the D-Loop podcast, the door is always open for you. And we'll definitely be talking soon.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
You got it. Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D-Loop podcast. Once again, I do want to thank Ella J for stopping by to lend her expertise in discussing AEW Dynasty, and she's more than welcome to come back, to talk more professional wrestling. The D-Loop podcast is on multiple platforms, guys. Subscribe, no matter which platform that you listen to podcasts on, whether it's Deezer, TuneIn, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is hit that subscribe button and you'll get brand new content. Speaking of Apple Podcasts, you can actually leave a 5-star review. Talk about the show, what you think about it. What ideas you may have, or whatever the case may be. Give us that 5-star review. Don't forget about that. Social media. You can follow me on all my social media platforms at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis' official page. My merch store is open, guys. I have two of them. You can get all of your tees and hoodies, mugs, and even tote bags at shop.derektlewis.com. All of my pro wrestling themed merch, you can go to pwt.derektlewis.com.
And of course, my single Espacion with Angie Starrs can be streamed on all platforms. So make sure you support the movement. Well, I'm going to get out of here. And as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.